And in Acts chapter 13, and this will give us an idea of what I'm going to be talking about. We're going to go to Ephesians chapter 2, and I'm going to try to get through these chapters. I don't want to take up too much of the guys' time. But anyway, in Acts chapter 13 and verse 15, Acts 13 verse 15, well, go back to verse 5, Acts 13 verse 5. When they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogue of the Jews, and they had also John to their ministry. And so the point I want you to see is Paul's going into the synagogue of the Jews. In verse 15, and after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, ye men and brethren, if ye have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. Then Paul stood up, beckoning with his hand, said, men of Israel, and ye that fear God, give audience. Look in verse 26. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, that would be Israel, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. Come over to chapter 17, in Acts chapter 17. And this is why I always stress we don't follow the life, the actions of the Apostle Paul in the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 17, we follow the revelation that God gave to the Apostle Paul, and he wrote it down for us in 13 books. And that revelation is in Romans through Philemon. And that's our doctrine, that's our hope, that's our destiny. And we follow the Lord through them writings, not through the actions of the Apostle Paul. And I will show you that in just a moment. Acts 17. Now, when they were passed through Pamphylius and whatever, and they came to Thessalonica, there was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days, Saturdays, reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. And so they come in, he would go into these synagogues, and he would preach. And notice you'll find verse 5, some of them believed, verse 4, but the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar. And so they're opposing the message of the Apostle Paul. Now Satan still opposes that message, but his tactics is changed a little bit. His methods are changed. In other words, in Paul's days, it was a direct, open opposition to the truth of the gospel of Christ. Today, it's a subtle perversion of the truth. And so instead of opposition of the truth, it's more of a perversion of the truth, a corrupt of the truth. And you'll find in Paul's day, Satan attacked men physically. Today it's more spiritually. You see, God would speak to men through men and through prophets and apostles, and so the attack was physically. Today, God speaks to men through the Scriptures, and so in order to do something about that, he corrupts the Scriptures. Hence, you got all kinds of different translations, and everywhere that men has corrupted it and come from corrupted manuscripts, and on the thing goes. But the point is, he goes into these synagogues. Now notice, you'll find that whenever they go out, the Gentiles would always want to hear more. And I don't have time to go We'll just go back to Ephesians chapter 2 now. So he's going into the synagogues. He's preaching in there. I meant to tell you to look in Acts 16 before we go. Acts chapter 16. I'm getting ahead of myself. In Acts chapter 16, verse 1, then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, which is Timothy, son of a certain woman which was Jewish and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek. Now Paul takes Timothy and circumcises him. Well, here's a man that's in his writings talks about circumcision is nothing. But here in his actions, he takes a man and circumcises him because of the Jews. You see, you can't follow that. Look back in chapter 15. In chapter 15, notice in verse 1. And you see, whenever he did that voluntarily for the sake of the Jews. But whenever it was, you got to do something for salvation, that's a different story. He said he again in Galatians chapter 2, talking about Acts 15, he said, we gave no space to him, no, not for an hour. We didn't budge on this thing. And Titus, who was with me, be a great, was not compelled to be circumcised. Notice in verse 1, Acts 15, 1, and certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. So they go up there and see what the Jerusalem church has to say. Look what they did. James finally stands up. Verse 28. For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things. These is the Gentile church that had believed that ye abstain from meats offered to idols. And Paul writes about it in his earlier epistles, like the Corinthians, how that you're eating things offered to idols. So here he says that ye abstain from meats offered to idols, from blood, and from things strangled, and from fornication, from which if ye keep yourselves, ye shall do well, fare ye well. So when they were dismissed, they came to Antioch, and when they had gathered the multitude together, they delivered of the epistle, which when they had read, they rejoiced for the consolation. And so Paul and Barnabas takes this epistle, this letter that came from Jerusalem, and he reads it unto the churches there that Paul had been established. And you see, it was a part of the law. Look in, I ain't got time to go on in that, but here's the whole thing about Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 1, you had certain key words in that chapter. Heavenly places, spiritual things. In chapter 2 of Ephesians, you have key words. Look in verse 14. For he is our peace who hath made... What's that next word? Huh? Both. That means... Both would be two, wouldn't it? So when Paul goes into these synagogues here, you'll find he writes to the Galatians while he's going into the synagogue. You'll find also that he writes to the Corinthians while he's in the synagogues. the Thessalonians, you'll notice he writes to them. He writes to the Romans and in his early ministry. And so he's writing to these Gentiles and Jews that's here. But these people had a ordinance that had been imposed upon them that the epistles or whatever that they had to keep. Now look in, we come back in verse 14 again. For he is our peace who hath made both one. Now look back in chapter 1. In chapter 1, verse 12. That we should be to the praise of his glory, who what? First. So these would be the first that trusted in Christ. trusted in Christ. In whom ye also trusted after ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. So you come over here and you'd have Ephesians. You'd have Philippians. You'd have Colossians over here. And these people, the Ephesians, they did not know anything about the commonwealth of Israel. They didn't know nothing about no epistle that had been read that they should abstain from meats offered to idols. They would probably eat anything that didn't eat them first. And they could care less about Israel. Do y'all get the picture? You see, those Ephesians is like you and me in this room. Now let's look at it in chapter 2. Verse 1, and ye hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince, the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Now, the great argument in Ephesians chapter 2 here is concerning the new creation of a new man. And you'll find that in verse 15. And this creation, whenever they're in this creation, and let me go back and put this up here. I'm just going to, just like a wall here. These people were under some ordinances of the Jewish church. Okay? That's simple. Has everybody got that? They took that epistle around to the churches and read it to them that they should offer, abstain from anything strangled or from eating meats offered to idols and on the thing goes. Okay? And also, they had a law. And the real problem in the churches back there in Acts 15 was the law of Moses. Even in Acts 21, James says, see here thou how many of those that keep the law? Said here, there we got some men that's offering a vow. You go and offer and pay, do all that, and so that people will know that what they say and thinking of. The law of Moses is none effect anymore. So Paul goes in there and shaves his head and goes in there for 7 days and offers. Folks, you know you can't do that today. He's under that law. But these people over here, they don't know nothing about no law, dietary law, or any other law. Why? Well, look in, back in verse 11. Wherefore remember that ye, being in time past would be Acts 19. You all know where it's at. It's Acts 19. They're worshipers of Diana. They're idol worshipers. They're not in the synagogues. They're not in the covenants of promise. These were. Why? God blessed them because they blessed Israel. And God blessed them letting them hear the gospel of Christ through the Apostle Paul because of their blessings on Israel. The Ephesians. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past, Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh, made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Why did they have no hope? Now look at the verse. Why did these Ephesians have no hope? They wasn't in the covenants of promise. They were alienated from the commonwealth of Israel. In other words, they were separated out. They wasn't in the covenants of promise. They were strangers. That at that time ye were without Christ. Why? Being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise. They didn't even know about the covenants of promise. What was that promise? What is the covenants of promise? Genesis 12, I bless them that bless thee, and I'll curse them that curses thee. And anybody that blessed the seed of Abraham, God would bless, and if anybody cursed the seed of Abraham, God cursed. The nations of the world, Egypt, cursed the seed of Abraham. What happened to them? God cursed them. Babylon cursed the seed of Abraham. God cursed every empire that ever cursed the nation Israel. God Almighty done something to them. And that's why you have preachers today saying and preaching the United States better not turn their back on Israel, because every nation that did, God cursed. So hold upon. Is that the Israel of God that's over there today? No, it's not. They don't even believe in Jesus Christ as God. They don't know nothing about what you know. But when the church is filled up and gone, then God will gather them back in there, and the Israel of God that Paul talked about, God will begin the deal and the covenants of promise will come back. You will see that look in Galatians. Just turn back through two pages, Galatians chapter 6. Verse 15, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy and upon the Israel of God. Well, what's the Israel of God that Paul's referring to? You know it wasn't the ones that had been following him around, persecuting him, throwing him in jail and prison and everything and beating him and trying to get to stirring up people with him. You know it wasn't the people, the Israel of God, is not in Acts 22 when they threw dust up in the air and said, away with this fellow. We'll not have it. I mean, he's not fit to live. What is the Israel of God that he's talking about? You have to think, don't you? You know, that's why these churches is filled up with zombies. I mean, they don't want to think. They don't want to have to use their brain when they come to church. I mean, they won't sit there. And, I mean, most churches, you can just, when you park out in the parking lot, you can uncap your head and put your brain in the glove compartment, because you're not going to have it till you get back and ready to drive the car again. The Israel of God that Paul is talking about is that new nation that Peter now's a part of. That remnant. And when the church is gone, then God will finish out the nation. Oh, that's another thing. But anyway. Notice what he says. So, you have two. Verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace who hath made both. You got one over here, you got people over here, both, two groups. Who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to create, you make something, you create it, in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. God wants peace in the body of Christ. So Jesus Christ died, and Paul's message was, that middle wall that was the law, the enmity that separated these two groups, God did away with it at the cross, or by the cross. God did away with it, and he made them both one body, so making peace. In other words, this group couldn't say we're better than you because we keep certain ordinances and we do this and we do that. Just like the church today is divided because of denominations, and one says, well, we're right and you're wrong. Listen, we do this and we do that. We're more spiritual than you are, and blah, 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 and there's no peace in the thing. And God, that's wickedness. That's iniquity. And that's wrong. And I don't want to be a part of some junk like that. So what am I? I'm a part of the body of Christ. Now look at it. And that he might reconcile what? Both. Unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Well, what's the enmity? Verse 15, the law of commandments contained in ordinances for to make himself twain, one new man, so making peace. You're not under the law, you're under grace. God ain't demanding you keep the law for salvation. You can't keep the law for salvation anyway. Jesus Christ died for the body, so all of the main focus in this body is the cross. What Jesus Christ did. Verse 17, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them which were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are building together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. And that's where the Spirit's at, it's in the body. And we are individual members in that body, and our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit of God dwells in our bodies. But collectively, the temple of God, that God would see His temple. And you got to realize, whatever's in heaven, God has a replica down here. You understand? Moses was told to make the tabernacle after the pattern of the heaven. So there was a tabernacle, there's a temple up there, and Moses was told to make a pattern after it. David was told to make a pattern after the heavenly priesthood. So David set in order 4 and 20 elders. And lo and behold, you go to the Revelation, you find them 24 elders sitting around the throne. And the courses of the priesthood, David set out as a pattern. So I know that there's a... And we're seated together, back in verse 6, has raised us up together, made us to sit together in heavenly places. Right now, there is a temple, and the body of Christ is the replica on earth of what's in heaven. Now, I want you to understand, you're not with it yet up there. But as far as God is concerned, spiritually, you are. And I'm going to get in just a little deep water right here, just throw something out to you. Adam was the physical creation. The second Adam is the spiritual creation. And the second Adam is Christ, and we're the body of Christ. Just as Adam had a body physically, we're the spiritual body of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're the second Adam. And we are identified in Him in heaven right now. And that ought to churn your butter right there. I'll let you go. It's 10:30. Don't go too far now.